Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
It's the Funny Mondays with Jenny Winter.
Hello, hello, hello. I don't know why I'm trying to introduce this podcast in generic European accent. I think I'm just trying to make it sound a bit more interesting than it is. Welcome to the second episode of the Funny Mummies podcast. I was so stoked to get Emma Zammit on. I'd never met her before. She'd never met me before, but I don't think you would even guess that because this episode we went surprisingly deep. We were like deep sea divers, like going down the abyss, James Cameron style, finding alien life upon the seafloor, getting the bends. It was nuts. Anyway, we talk about some really heavy mental health stuff, which I think is freaking awesome because it's meant to be a funny podcast. Occasionally it is. But yeah, there you go. It went where it went and it went deep. And I really, really hope that you enjoy this episode and get something from it as I did. Enjoy. Without further ado, thank you so much for joining us, Emma Zammit. So welcome to the podcast, Emma Zammit.
Thank you.
So happy to meet you.
Yeah, I'm happy to meet you too.
That's awesome. So for those of you out there who haven't met Emma before or heard of her, tell us a little bit about
where have you been?
Where have you been?
I am Emma Zammit and I'm 37. I've been doing comedy for about 11 years. And I've been Sydney and Perth-based for comedy.
Yep. And how did you get started? What inspired comedy?
Well, my sister bought me a stand-up comedy course for 2 days.
What a legendary sister.
What a legend she is. She's responsible for it all. Because my family is all very funny. All of us have got our own wicked sense of humor, but I'm just lucky to get paid for mine now. But she just bought me a course, kind of encouraged me. It was just 2 days and it talked about how to write jokes, the fine premises, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then you graduate and you do it in front of your friends and family, which is still my favorite gig.
It's such a nice way to start.
Yeah,
hey?
it was a really fun gig. That was definitely one of my favorites. And then I just started gigging and that's it. I've just been doing it ever since.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And where do you think, so you said your whole family's quite funny. Like, can you see, have you psychoanalyzed this? Like, why you've got a funny family?
No, I haven't psychoanalyzed it. My sister is a psychotherapist. So I think she actually wrote about it in her thesis that she did.
Did she?
I think she has talked about all the depths of all of our personalities and our relationships and all that kind of stuff. But my dad was a very his kind of humor was, you don't need a long neck to be a goose kind of humor. Like, you know, why does a man walk into a bar? Whereas my mum's very dry.
Yeah.
Like, I think most of us got it from her. But I don't know. It's really interesting because it's not like it. Cousins and all that. I think we're just always, all four of us just kind of feed off each other.
Yeah. I'm always so interested in like where that comes from in a family. Like, because I know in my family, I think it was born of actually a lot of trauma. And
right.
That was our way of getting through and coping with that. So,
what do you mean? What happened?
My mum died when I was very young. And we had like just a lot of sadness in the home. And I think like trying to cheer each other up I think certainly for me, that's where it's come from. Is trying
That's
to forge relationships and stuff. I mean, yes, it is really heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But I think, that's been the nice thing that's come out of it, I guess. And I know so many comedians, that's kind of their...
That's like, 100%, well, that's how humour, we fall back on humour to get through those kind of times.
Yeah, that's right.
Definitely.
And since becoming... So you were already a comedian when you became a mum.
Yeah. So I was doing it for, well, how old's my son? He's just 5. So, you know, but what's that maths? Probably 8 years before him.
Yeah.
9, 10, 11, 7, 6 years. I'm so bad with maths. But yeah, so I was doing it for a while and then it definitely had, like, unfortunately, like I've had to pull back quite a bit because yeah. as you know, it's hard to, yeah. can't be gigging 4 times a week. You can't, you know, so I was very lucky in the sense that I had established myself at least within Perth and Sydney that people knew who I was and, does that make sense?
Yeah, like, yeah, totally.
You know, I wasn't an open micer starting. I'd already established I was an MC for most rooms, you know, but it was, yeah, hard, like hard. And even now, like, so I haven't done a festival since they've been born, you yeah. know, like I haven't gone to Melbourne and it's just, yeah, it definitely pulls you back.
How do you feel about that? Like the fact that, you know, it does, yeah, you can't just go for it the same way that yeah. like sort of,
I mean, maybe some other mum comedians would be like, why can't you? And I think it's up to each individual person.
Yeah.
But, you know, and all of our situations are different when it comes to, and our kids are all different. So it really depends. But how do I feel about it? I feel, never been asked that before. Cheated? Is that not cheated?
Yeah, no,
that's a little bit of a word because I know that I'm good and yeah. like it is definitely something I love. So it's hard to see all my friends kind of go past me and, you know, get nominated for these awards and be doing these festivals and like it was hard when I had my kids because I felt like it really put a barrier up against up in front of me with all these people that I'd known for years because it's just, yeah, it's hard.
Yep.
It's a very specific industry for specific things.
Yep.
I think, yeah.
It is hard. And then I think laid on top of that, like, is, you know, you feel like, well, but you're supposed to value, you know, but family's the most important thing
yeah.
and all of that stuff. Yeah. And that's such a hard thing then
yeah.
to feel like, yeah, almost guilty about feeling like that's a bad thing.
Oh, I mean, totally. Yeah. And we talked about this earlier, weren't we? I said, I'm only up in Brisbane for 3 days. I feel so guilty that yeah. I'm here. And I shouldn't be because this is what I've come up here to do my show about parents. I've come up to gig and I'm working full time as well. But. Yeah. And it is only 3 days, but, like, I just feel so guilty. Like, am I allowed to have this time to myself?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I can't be a traveling comedian as a mum with these kids so early.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's – but each person's different. It might
yeah.
It might work for some mum comedians and it might work for them to do the festival. But for me, the last 5 years, it hasn't.
Yeah.
And my show goes into a bit of a reason why and stuff as well.
Yeah,
for that. Well,
tell
yeah.
me. Yeah, tell me about that. Yeah, I'm so interested in your show.
So
that's called SLOP.
It's called SLOP,
which is a great name.
Yeah,
because it's an acronym.
Yes, yes. It's Secret Life of Parents.
Love it.
And it's I've been one of those comedians that I'm very observational and, you know, but I've never talked about – the only 2 times I've ever talked about something really, really personal for me is when my dad died 4 years ago, I wrote a show really quite soon after he died called Good Grief, and it was the 5 stages of grief.
Wow.
So that was the most, exposed I felt yet – I kept it for the festival show and I never did any of the material in clubs. And then my new show, which I'm doing tonight, is about me being diagnosed with postnatal anxiety.
Wow.
So, like, even me saying that out loud, probably if some of people I know listen to this might not even know it still. I don't actually talk about it much beyond a very small group of people and
yep.
so but now I talk about it on stage it's like
that's so interesting hey?
Yeah
like that the stage can feel like a safer space sometimes
yeah
yeah yeah
but it's if you haven't seen my show you still don't know
Wow, that is so interesting. Yeah. So postnatal anxiety, because I know, you know, we hear about postnatal depression obviously all the time. Yeah. So I actually don't feel like I know much.
Right, about postnatal anxiety. Well, neither did I. Yeah. And I never had anxiety that much beforehand. So my kids were 14 months apart, which was not planned.
Oh, that's close. Yeah.
Very close. And I talk about my husband blame me for talking dirty during sex for the second one. That's that's how we got the second one. So that's a good story for my daughter to know. We were dirt fucking poor, like so poor because, I hadn't even gone back to work yet. Yeah, I didn't have a job to go back to. So then all of a sudden I was pregnant again. Our wedding was booked. I had my wedding dress hanging up in the cupboard. I had to cancel my wedding. We had to like barely get through like money wise. And my daughter had reflux. My son was only 11 months old when she was born, 14 months old. And, it's a lot of stress. And I just like developed really bad social anxiety. So my friends would invite me over and I just physically couldn't get myself out of the house to be there. It was just too much for me. Like I just started thinking about 100 things like, how am I going to get the baby to sleep and what do I need to pack and blah, 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 blah. And then it just came to a head one weekend. And I talk about it in my show that, how do you Google search a feeling? Cause I was like, have rage, hate children. Like frantically typing into the keyboard, like, baby mobile weapon question mark. Like, I didn't know. And then in my first Google search that came up was panda. And I was like, oh, come on. Like, I know I'm a bit cuddly and a bit, you know, always got chewing on something. I've got dark wog circles under my eyes. But and then it worked out. It was an acronym and it stood for Perinatal Anxiety Natal Depression Australia.
Wow.
And I called them and I was like, I can't fucking cope. I'm about to – I'd locked myself in the garage and my two kids were upstairs. I just couldn't fucking cope. So it's like so it's postnatal but it manifests itself as anxiety rather than depression.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's another reason why I haven't really done a festival show or.
Yeah, well, that's a lot to deal with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And did you, so obviously now you've, like, you're spinning that into comedy.
Yeah.
On stage. Yes. Like, how long did it take? Or were you sort of mentally the comedian side of you kind of trying to be outside that and take notes? Or
no
like,
way.
Like, yeah, too
oh
much
Oh,
God, at the time.
No, I couldn't at all. No, I just wasn't – I felt like if I even said it out loud, I'd be judged or no. And like I said, like probably the people I work with, because I work full-time as well, that most of them wouldn't even know.
Tell anybody?
In the beginning, I think I emailed a few of my best mates just saying, look, this is what's happening with me and this is why I've been behaving this way. And then I went to a psychologist and I got on anxiety meds and stuff like that because I refused to do it in the beginning and then I just was like, I need help.
Yeah.
I didn't know the right mechanisms to get me through day to day, basically. So but it's turned into a show now.
Yeah.
But a show that's on my own terms, which I like. So I just book when I, but a lot of mums, like I can see them in the audience when I talk about it. I can see almost their shoulders drop. Like it's like a bit of a relief that someone's having a hard time too. Like, I know we all are.
Absolutely.
I know we all are. It's not
but to let it all hang out like that. Yeah. Like, and like you say, like at the beginning too, it's like it's so awful you don't even want to tell anyone because you feel like there's this level of judgment about you as a parent.
Yeah, you're like, why can't you do this?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, so have people come up to you? Like, have you had feedback, like directly after shows and things?
No, not that much. Like people look at me a bit differently when I've said it. Or you know, like just women walk up to each other and they just talk to you with their eyes.
Yes, like a knowing.
Yeah, I get a lot of that.
Yeah.
Like I get a lot of like someone just squeezing my hand when they're walking out and they'll just look at me and you don't have to say anything.
Oh, that's really beautiful.
Yeah, which is nice.
How do you feel like having done, like how's that changed how you view what you've gone through and everything?
I feel relieved that I'm not alone, and I feel almost I know you can't control it when it's happening, but I feel like, fuck, I wasted so much time worrying about stupid fucking shit. Sorry, am I allowed to swear?
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, like I just worry about stupid shit.
Mm.
And like, thank God for my husband. Like he's like a saint. Like he's the one who pulled me out of all of this. And he's just like, he's so great. Like I still feel like I need work. There's work to do.
Yeah.
But, it's funny because there's no one here but us. I'm okay to talk about it.
Yeah, right.
But, like, I still don't feel incredibly comfortable going, hey, I've got postnatal anxiety.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to still say that if my daughter's four?
Well, why not? Like, I mean, I guess we get caught up on labels and stuff like that too. And but it's one of those things, isn't it? Like we have come a long way in terms of talking about mental illness and the stigma, but there's still so far to go. And so I have bipolar too.
Right, okay.
And even then I haven't told many people. Right, like I've told my closest friends. But it's come on stage. I've never written anything about it, but someone in the audience, I can't even remember what the scenario was, someone in the audience revealed something quite personal about themselves.
Yeah.
And so I revealed that to kind of, you know. Yeah,
to counterbalance
like,
it.
Yeah, and go, well, thank you for that. Here you go. And I made a joke about it.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I'd ever spoken about it on stage. And I haven't gone further. Yeah. But even then I was like, fuck, I haven't told anyone this and you're telling us.
It's so funny how comedians, but like we feel like there's this like bubble, right? On stage was how I feel.
Mm.
Like there's this like Avengers shield, imaginary shield around me, and then I step off stage and it just drops around me.
Yeah.
But like I'm so invincible on stage, and that kind of stuff can come out of my mouth.
Yeah.
But then as soon as my feet touch the ground after I walk off stage, I revert back to old insecurities and.
It's so funny, isn't it? And then because on stage, the irony is you're actually being more vulnerable on stage in what you're revealing, but you feel more vulnerable off.
Yes. Yeah. It's true. It's funny because I'm not a different persona on stage. If you actually see me, like how I'm talking to you now is how I talk on stage.
Right, yeah.
But it's my own just internal stuff.
Yeah.
Like I'll never come up to you after I've done my show and go, oh, how about that postnatal anxiety, hey? Like, you know what I mean?
How about that
fucking pill I'm taking? But it's like, it's therapeutic.
Yeah, it is. It totally. And I'm all about that. I think the catharsis of actually like speaking, taking all that dark stuff and bringing it out into the light and all that, I think is so good for us.
Yes.
How long did it take you? Like, when did you start to put this show together and start to see it through a bit more of a comic kind of lens?
It's never my own idea. It's either my husband's or he's so good. Like, he's just like, you should write a show about this now, or like he's the one, you know, you should go up to Brisbane with that show. Like
he's really,
it was probably him actually who said it. But then my brother Adam, and my brother Daniel my brother Daniel is just like, loves comedy, and he, you know, watches every comedian on, you know, Netflix, and he knows all about the details, and he's got Bill Hicks, massive fan.
Yeah.
And he was like saying to me one day, he's like, you're great, you're really like likable, but you need to, the best you are is when you're honest.
Wow.
And my brother Adam was like, why have you not touched in all this parenting about your postnatal anxiety? Because I wrote the whole show without even scraping the surface of it.
Wow.
And he's like, go back and start again. So, like, I was like, really? But then, like, I started to do it and... You know, like there's no easy segue to go, hey, I've got postnatal anxiety, you know? So, but he helped me write it a little bit. And
How did you find the funny in that?
Well, noise is a big trigger for my anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And so I talk about how ironic that is considering my family's Maltese and, like, we we are the loudest fucking humans on earth. And I really I bring so much physical comedy into this show, which I've never done before.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I go into this really exaggerated bit about how, you know, as your mum, you're trying to get one of the kids out of the room and how you're mouthing kids to get out. So it's like, you can't really do this over a podcast, but it's like my whole, like, physical of trying to push a kid out while also frantically trying to pat another kid to sleep. And
yes.
And talk about, like, oh, what else did I talk about? Just how heightened everything was for me and noise and all that kind of stuff. And once I started writing, I was like, it just all started coming out of me. I was like, oh my God, I never knew it was actually about that. And
yeah.
And I'm loud.
Yeah.
It's so ironic. I'm loud and an extrovert, and noise is my trigger.
You're triggering yourself.
I'm basically triggering myself. Shut up, Emma. So it's interesting, but I'm really looking forward to tonight and doing it. And
that's so great.
Yeah, it's good.
And I think too, like, by doing that stuff, I mean, obviously we have an amplifier because we have a stage to do it on and sort of reach people in a bigger way, as in more people at once. But I think in general, that inspires people then to let their own shit hang out, even if it's with their friend or whatever that is.
Exactly.
And if we just start to let it all hang out, I think so. I think it really does.
I really hope so. Like, it shouldn't be something to be ashamed of.
Yeah.
Like, and oh, look, how contradictive is that of me saying that? I just said you shouldn't be ashamed of it, yet I'm saying that I'm not broadcasting it around to everyone. But if anyone talks to me about it, I'll talk about it.
Yeah.
I just don't wear a sign on my head.
And I think two things can be true at once as well. Like, it's complicated bloody things, aren't we, humans?
We sure are. So, like, you just admitting then, saying that you've got bipolar, does that mean that if anyone's listening to this that knows you, will be finding out for the first time?
Yeah, a lot of them, yeah.
Should we edit out this whole podcast?
Let's cut it all out. Actually, you know what? We're never releasing it. I've just decided.
But how do you feel about that? Like, how do you feel? God, just
terrified. Like, but it's so weird because, like, you know, in principle, I totally think we should be honest and open about these things. And
that's how we
remove the stigma. And that's how, like, I would never judge anybody for saying that.
No.
Like, we judge ourselves, you know, and I want to have the appearance that I've got my shit together. But you know what? Even going back to that gig where I did say it on stage, there was something that felt like almost physically freeing about doing it. Like, it felt like, wow. And nobody mentioned it, like, once I was off. Because I don't know if they just thought I was joking either, but.
Oh, yeah, because, like, if somebody's just joking around having bipolar. Then
right?
Yeah. Then that's a bit cool. I think. But like you said, is it just our own fears of what the reaction is? Because.
But then what are we worried? Like, what are you worried that people are actually going to say?
Actually, people give a shit.
I know. People are too in their own.
Trapped in their own stuff.
That's
fair enough. We've all got our shit going on, haven't we?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, everyone's busy dealing with their own stuff.
Yeah.
Why is that? Like, I don't know. Like, even as you've said that, I don't know. Why do I care?
And if anyone is going to judge you on it, do you really want to be associated and friends with people like that?
Yeah, exactly. And the, like, people who love you don't care. Well, they care in that they care about you.
Yeah.
They don't care about that sort of stuff. Can I ask you then, what, like, if you could go back and or if there's someone out there listening now who suspects that they're feeling, well, if you know, relating to the stuff that you've described, what would you want to say to them now that you
get could help have used immediately? At the
time? Yeah.
Because the quicker you get help, the more you can just move on. I sat on it for so long and I just, you know, wish I didn't, because I was so against medication, I was so against talking to someone about it, and, you know, I could have had more quality time with my kids than rather than being in this bubble where it's okay to take this medication to help make me feel better every day.
Yeah.
It just flatlined all my emotions better.
Yep.
Nothing was heightened like it used to be. And it's, you know, helped my relationship with my husband and everyone around me, you know, like, it's funny. So, yeah, I think if you're feeling it, just talk to someone. And I know that's so easy to say, but you know, even that guy on the phone at the other end of, like, when I called Panda.
On Panda, yeah.
Honest to God, I wish I could just find out who that person was, because I'm locked in a garage and my, you know, 6-month-old is upstairs and my, you know, son's up there, and I was just like, I need help. And he's like, look, it's okay. Like, he was just so great. And it was just so nice to talk to someone. Like, and sometimes it's the people you don't know is better, right?
Yeah, well, you're not worried then about...
Yeah, well, yeah. We've just met each other. We just told each other two big things.
Yeah, I know. It's just amazing.
And I've got this rash on my bum, and I was wondering if I'm joking. I don't. It's not on my bum.
No, that's all right.
Yeah, but it's interesting, isn't it? Like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
It's judgment.
Well, and actually, I think that the judgment thing, especially with medication, I think some people can be quite judgmental about that.
Definitely.
And still. And I remember when I first started meds, and I told a friend of mine, a close friend, who is just a beautiful person. She's so lovely. And she said, quite well intentionally, but I assume that will be a very short-term solution. And I remember feeling awful at the time, because I was like,
why do I have to be on a time frame?
Yeah, that's right. And feeling like, oh, because it's a bad thing, you only want to be on it for that. And I've since resolved, like, so I've tried to come off meds, I've gone back, and it is such a disaster for me to not be on
so
meds.
So don't.
I now am completely fine with that, honestly. I feel no shame about that, because I feel like, unless you've walked in my shoes, and the alternative is, like, really not able to function and heading down the path where I won't be here anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't get to judge what I need to do to actually get through
life. If it gives you a better quality of life, take the better quality of life.
Abso-frickin-lutely.
Because that is the most important thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one should give a shit if you put two pills in your mouth and swallow it every day for you to have a better quality of life.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I'm so with you.
Yeah. That's your choice. That's your life. Mm. If it's making you live a better life, they should be fucking happy with that. If it means 10, 15, 20, 30 years, so be it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I tried to get myself off them as well.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that you're supposed to wean yourself
stopped. Oh, no, no, no.
Fuck me.
That's not good.
Yeah. No, it's not good.
Don't ever do that.
Don't ever do that, anybody. Oh, my God. No. Oh, my God. Yeah, anyway. So that's, I mean, that's kind of like, it's interesting as well, like, because I think a lot of people, you know, I've always been like really laid back and really carefree, but it's interesting. It just, whatever happens to you happens for reasons. And
And now it's so great because you get to actually fuel that into your art and what you do.
Yeah,
like, that's
exactly.
An amazing thing.
Exactly.
So nowadays, now your kids are a bit older and you've gotten some help. I know it's still an ongoing thing. But how do you find, like, when you're getting through the harder bits or the shit bits, like, are you finding the funny in that a bit sooner than you did before?
Yes. Wow, my gosh, yes.
Yeah, talk about that.
Oh, definitely. So you mean with my kids in general? Like, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
life.
Yeah, well, my daughter's basically glued to my face. She's in love with me. But it's funny when you meet her, she's like this fiercely independent, like, doesn't give a fuck about anyone, but as soon as she's with me, it's like, you know, my husband's never been ever allowed to put her to bed except for me. So she's almost four. I have to be the one, unless I'm at a gig.
You're an option.
If I'm out of sight, then she'll go, oh, whatever. Okay, yeah, you can do it. I definitely find the funnier. I definitely know how to just breathe through it. You know, the way I used to explain to everyone how I felt was I wanted to literally rip my skin off. I just wanted to be out of my body, like, get this feeling off my fucking skin. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
It's just like, oh, like, I can't, it's really hard to describe it, but, and then I just couldn't come back from that. But, like, now I definitely, like, can manage things easier. Like, I can see it for what it is now.
Yeah.
And know that life is okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, like, I'm really glad to hear that.
Yeah.
And I really hope, and I'm absolutely positive actually that, people out there listening, there will be people this really resonates with. So
Which
is really special.
I hope so.
I love that. And I think I just love that mums, like, I mean, I think mums can sometimes be so judgmental of each other. But I think as well, on the flip side, we can be so supportive of each other as well. And I think by, being honest about this shit, it's like it's so, you feel less alone.
Totally.
I think the one thing worse than wanting to rip your skin off is feeling like you're the only person on the planet who wants to do that. And actually you're really not.
It's kind of sad, isn't it? When you think about it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is our lovely comedy podcast.
Isn't it? We have really brought the mood up, I feel. What? How much time have we got? We've been talking for half an hour.
Oh, my God.
And we have really brought it down. End with funnies.
You know what? Let's bring...
Do you know what? No one's going to come see my comedy. They're like, what a fucking miserable bitch she is.
I'm just going to stay home and ring pander. Yeah.
Oh my God! Quick, let's bring that funny. I tell you how great women are in mothers' groups. They're just the biggest pieces of shit on earth, aren't they?
I went to one mother's group. Oh, that was all I took.
I did two, but I got two of my best friends out of it, and we are three of the most different people on earth. But the thing that was common ground between us is that we all didn't give a shit.
Oh,
so
that's
one's
awesome.
A really like an accountant, really high, high up. Like company and kind of like she's very intelligent and that kind of stuff. Another one's a clinical psychologist who works with like child sex offenders and that kind of stuff. And I'm a comedian who works in sales in advertising. And we're three of the most different people, but that's how you find each other.
Beautiful.
So let's end on funny.
All right, so
let's end
on funny. Rapid fire questions for you, or do you have any spectacular stories to share?
Oh, like, I've got 3,000, but we've hit a couple of minutes left.
Why don't I? I'll do our rapid fire questions.
Okay,
and we can
go.
End
go.
On a happy
yeah, yeah.
Your
go.
Motto for life.
My motto for life.
Yeah.
It used to be I'm here for a good time and a long time, and then I changed it to oh my God.
I changed
I've
it
totally
to
forgot
nothing.
It. It's about everyday laugh. Like, what's that quote that Charlie Chaplin? A day without laughter is a day wasted. Or whatever.
Oh my God,
I cannot believe I forgot my own motto, but that's definitely mine. Oh my God.
Look, we're mothers, it escapes us, we have brain farts, but it always comes back.
Yeah, and we just fart too.
Farts from everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so a parenting moment that you're not particularly proud of.
Oh, 3,000. I was once eating Subway with my son was in his Bjorn in front of me, and a woman had to stop me in the street and say, "I'm sorry, your son is covered in chipolati sauce."
It's good she knew what it was.
Over him, because I didn't know the bottom of the paper was open, and he was asleep. But like, I'm not even like saying like a dribble exaggeration. He was smothered in the chipolati sauce. And I licked it off his head. Yeah.
You licked it off.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That is such an amazing image.
Yeah.
Like a little baby burrito. Oh, my God. Amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What's the best advice you've ever received?
This too will pass.
Love that.
This too will pass.
What's the worst advice you've ever got?
Anything from someone who's not a parent. Shut the fuck up. They're like, when I'm a parent, I'm going to do this. I'm like,
dogs.
Shut. No joke. My friend did say that. We've got this puppy. It's basically like a newborn. I'm like, get the fuck out of my house.
Walk out the door. Don't come back.
Yeah.
Complete this sentence. Parenting is?
Hard, rewarding, surprising, messy, and tiring.
So it's happy and sad.
Yeah.
It is
life,
all,
right?
Isn't it? I always feel like it's the best thing you could ever do and the worst thing you could ever do.
Yeah, totally.
Like it's both.
Yeah.
I get it. And the final question, what will be written on your tombstone?
Are you finished with that? Because I eat everyone's food.
Someone come over and eat Subway over my tombstone every week and Chipotle.
Respect. If you want to do that, I'm happy for that. Whatever. Just if I'm surrounded by food, I'll be okay with that.
Oh, my gosh. Emma, thank you so much
for having me.
Where can we find you?
Okay, so I've got, just Facebook page, Emma Zammert, comedian. I put all my gigs up there. Also, of course. I do videos about parents.
Brilliant.
I've got a Slop Facebook page, Secret Life of Parents, Slop.
Brilliant.
And I just do videos on how I do makeup in the car and how kids watch TV and, you know, and I, yeah, so what, yeah, look that up as well. Slop, Secret Life of Parents.
Brilliant. Secret Life of Parents. All right. Excellent. Thank you so
much. Thanks for having
me. Thank you for getting so real.
I know. That was unexpected.
I know.
Yes.
I was like, feel like we need to go and have a group hug and a cup of some chai lattes or something.
I hope everyone's okay after that.
Yeah. Be kind to yourself, guys.
Yeah. Be kind to yourself.
Yeah.
Go and laugh.
Get yourself a massage.
And if all else fails, this is, I'll end on this, right? Yes. This is what my husband says to me because I always text my husband when I'm at gigs and he, you know, and I'm one of those people who doesn't write it in one thing. I do one sentence after another. So he gets like 15 texts in a row, like 15 different messages on, you know, sentences. And I'm always like, oh, I don't know how this gig's going to go. And he always says to me, if all else fails, just fart in the microphone. So that's my last piece.
I think that's your life motto.
If all else fails, just fart into the microphone.
Yeah. I love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Funny Mummies podcast. If you haven't already, make sure you join our group on Facebook, the Funny Mummies group. Also, we have funnymummies.com, which has upcoming gigs, shows, fun stuff. You can find me, Jenny Winter, which is WYNTER, why? Because I can, at jennywinter.com. You can find me on Facebook at Jenny Winter Comedian, Instagram at Jen Winter. And your child could be the voice on this podcast. So if your child would like to say, with Jenny Winter, record that as a voice memo, send it through to me. You can either send it via the Facebook group or via my website, and they could be the voice on the next episode. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope that you find some funny in your day.
It's the Funny Mummies with Jenny Winter.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.